Do you have a Stanley Cup?
I do, but it's only because I got it on TikTok Shop. TikTok Shop. That is actually very hard to say. For $17.99 with coupons. I think I actually made a video of it because I am a proud couponer.
I know you are. You got a Stanley Cup before it was cool. So you're like an iconoclast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know actually exactly what that word means. So Second, I don't think I got it before it was cool. I think I got it before it was mayhem.
Can somebody tell me what the fucking big deal is about this thing?
The reason it went viral is there was a video that now has questionable resources of a Stanley Cup in a car. The car caught fire, and allegedly the Stanley Cup's ice was still intact. And everyone's like, when I set on fire, I need a cup like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my cocktail is still cold. And everyone bought into it, right. And there you go.
I love that we're all just doing free advertising now for companies. Just everybody's just fucking doing free advertising. Good job, us.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Hi, Daisy Egan.
Hi, Ellen Marsh.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, a Love is Blind recap podcast. You would think after all this time we are not still on season one. Though we have already done 5 and 6, but season one is the gift that keeps on giving.
If you want to call it a gift. Again, it's like a viral virus that pops up and won't go away. Like us.
Before we start, I want to say that it really just went out of my head. It was something about the Stanley Cup, but it clearly wasn't important.
I'm having a lot of trouble with words lately, and I feel like I'm way too young to be having this much trouble with, like, recalling words.
Right.
So I think I've got maybe 2 years left.
On the earth?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'll be here, but I'll be like, blah, 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 you know.
Right. You're adorable when you do that.
Thanks.
I think you as an old lady, I would cancel my Netflix subscription just to watch you all day as an old lady.
Great. Well, that'll be some income. I'll do an OnlyFans.
JK, I steal my mom's Netflix. Do you think I pay for Netflix?
No.
You must be joking.
The password is password.
Grow up. I would never pay for my own Netflix. What a racket.
No, I get my Netflix through T-Mobile. I get my Hulu through T-Mobile. I think now we've got Disney Plus through T-Mobile.
I have T-Mobile. How did you get that?
Oh, girl. You got to go to the app and you got to go to my benefits and you're going to see all this free shit.
Well, this is, I guess, we're canceling the day. You're telling me there's coupons available?
Yeah.
You know, I always say, like, I've never really done drugs. I don't really think I have an addictive personality. That is a lie.
Yeah.
The adrenaline rush I get watching my coupons, I can only equate it to heroin.
Well, it's a lot healthier because not only are you not putting poison in your body, you're saving money.
It just makes me feel like I'm winning. Obviously, I'm not. They've designed it this way somehow to,
right.
I don't know the system and the psychology behind couponing. That would be a great documentary.
Why coupons work?
Well, there's got to be a system behind it.
Yeah.
The psychological system behind couponing.
It's like the reverse of like a slot machine. Like you're instead of seeing the money go up, you're seeing the money go down.
Yeah.
It's doing something to your brain.
But as we learned on Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case live tour, Daisy actually just does it the old-fashioned way and she does cocaine.
Yeah.
We're here, Daisy. How are you feeling today? How are you feeling this on our actual, what's the opposite of inaugural? Final? No.
Yeah. Last.
Okay. I was thinking I wanted something a little more colorful, a little more.
I mean, last episode would have been like penultimate, but this one is just like the last one.
Okay. So whatever the opposite of inaugural is, that's it for season one.
I know. I feel a little weird about it, to be honest.
I feel weird, but I feel good about moving on. I know that the cast of characters in season two is going to provide.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to miss some of these folk.
Yeah. We should have a live like Zoom or Riverside or something where we all look all these people up on socials and see what they're doing. I only know what Lauren and Cameron are doing because every once in a while they come up on my TikTok algorithm. Algorithm? Algorithm.
Algorithm.
Okay.
I'm with you.
Season one, after the altar three, celebrations and confrontations, which actually is a perfect explanation of my dating life. We are back at the anniversary party that
never ends.
Will seemingly never end, much like the barbecue from season 6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking things are about to get hairy, Daisy, because all I see them panning to is people pouring drinks.
Yeah, everyone's getting real sauced. I keep thinking Mark is going to show up. We shall see if that plays out. Kelly, LC, Jessica, and Diamond, the single gals crew.
All the single ladies.
Kelly makes a remark about being someone who wasn't in a love triangle. And Jessica's like, I wasn't in it. Like, she thought I was in it, but I wasn't in it. Okay, Jessica. I mean, you were. It's okay.
Everything is okay. Diamond says that Love is Blind has changed her, and she wants to find the perfect man. And of course, I'm confused by that statement. I will be satisfied if I find the perfect breakfast sandwich. At this point, my expectations are, I'm there. If you can get the egg slightly runny and the bacon slightly crispy everything bagel nice and crispy, yeah. But not hard.
Yeah, that's impossible. That is harder than finding a man.
A perfect man.
Well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Or even just like an acceptable one.
Like even one that's just like, have you like done... murder. Would you murder me?
Right.
Because listen, we all make mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like sometimes you hit people with your car. It's a mistake.
Accidents happen.
Yes, I was texting and I'd had a Stanley cup full of wine.
Right.
But it was a mistake, officer.
And then are you sorry?
Yeah.
Like if you're sorry, you know, we can move on. Also, like, you know, do you have tattoos? Like, is it a sleeve? Let me see. I don't even care. You know, I am such a sucker for men with tattoos.
You like a sleeve?
I think it's so sexy. I've never dated anyone with a sleeve, like seriously dated. You know, I've sat on it a couple times, but
sure.
I just think it's so sexy. But it's trouble. They're trouble. They're all trouble.
I have to tell you, this is not suitable for work, but I was trying to find an adult video to watch. And I think I need to make a comedy bit out of it because my standards are so impossible for these. I'm like, this acting is terrible. And then I'm like, the kissing sounds are too much. And then I'm like, he looks like a serial killer.
That is such a video. Can we make that video? I will direct it.
Yeah. And Kurt's like, it's fine. That one's fine. No, that's fine.
Nobody's dick is that big. That's going to give her a urinary tract infection. Absolutely not.
I'm like, I don't like that accent. I can't listen to it.
No. Those boobs are too much. Like, I want them nice and big, yeah. But I don't want them to be too much. Now I'm distracted and I'm wondering if she needs a sports bra.
Like, she took her jeans off and I was like, ew, jeans with no underwear. Like, I can't watch this.
Are you into lesbian porn or normal porn?
I really only want to watch lesbian porn, mostly because the men show up and I'm like, he's so ugly, I can't. You can look up like hot dude and he's like, you know.
And then they have these monster truck dicks and that's all they want.
Yes. Yes.
Where are we? We are already in the weeds and we are 5 minutes in.
Jessica starts crying about how proud she is that she didn't settle for just some guy. And she said the second she walked out of the wedding, she stood on her own.
Mm-hmm.
All those girls, including Diamond, seem white girl drunk at this point. Like, they're all like, I'm proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I'm the proudest.
I wrote... words being slurred really loud. We're already there. Again, 5 minutes in. You stood in your power.
You took your power back.
You're fucking queen.
Can I have another Pinot Noir?
Another tattoo. I want you to do this. Listen to me.
No,
listen. You listen to me.
Listen. Queen, oh God, you're so pretty.
Well, you're so pretty.
Do you want to make out a little bit?
Just a little bit. But just to see it. Just like,
no, just like to see.
Or just like that.
Just like,
Oh, God. I threw up a little bit. I'm fine. Just
that's
one more
okay. Day. I threw up a lot, so
yeah.
We're good.
It's fine. But so can, do you have a dad? Anyway.
Oh, boy. LC's being a little shady, in my opinion.
I said, I don't know if LC's being shady here.
Yeah, I said she's like kind of passive aggressive with her comments.
She basically says Jessica found her boyfriend because he slid into her DMs, and I don't want that. Okay.
Okay.
People meet all kinds of ways.
I literally wrote, okay, so don't.
Yeah. It's very weird. It feels slightly like she's trying to insult her. I'm like, that's not an insult.
No.
You kind of look mean right now.
Yeah. And then later we're going to find out that she did date somebody who slid into her DMs, so she can suck a dick. Then Jessica asks LC why Mark isn't here. She says she doesn't know and she doesn't care, but she tells us in confessional that she, LC, is bad luck. But maybe tonight she'll meet someone. Really? one of these fucking jabronis that are here? Who at this party would you possibly want to fucking do the horizontal hokey pokey with?
Rory.
Oof. Gigi tells us that she's hurt that Sausage Lips O'Hanahan is there. She's pissed because she's been put into this situation. It could have been their 2-year anniversary, but instead Damien brought a different girl, and not just some girl, but a girl who had already caused a fight between him. He can say till the cows come home that they're just friends, but like, we all know that that's not the case.
Right. And I'm going to have a lot of grace for Francesca later on in the episode. This is all inappropriate.
Yes.
Okay. Elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. We know Gigi acted immature and selfish and entitled.
Yeah.
And she had some odd takes, some shitty takes. But no one deserves this fucking mental chess move. Whatever Damien thinks he's doing here, she doesn't deserve it.
No.
It's not fair. She's still your partner. So
no.
So Damien walks up with Francesca, and Francesca is on his right and Giannina is on his left, and introduces Francesca to Giannina. And I just wrote, this is so weird.
Yeah, I said, is this guy okay?
And Giannina says very passive aggressively, I mean, I tried to invite my mom to this, but she couldn't get on the guest list. But thank goodness Francesca got on the guest list.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried inviting my mom, but I'm glad Francesca made it on the list. Okay.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I really miss her, but
I'm kidding.
I'm glad that I got to meet you. Because I'm over this shit.
Yeah, let's have a good night.
Yeah? You?
Cheers.
Come on now. The minute the producers heard that this whole triangle could be a situation, they probably flew that bitch on a private jet, like from across town. They're like, you want a plane? Great. Yeah. What else do you want?
Could you imagine if Mama Milady had been there? Oh my God. She would have burned the venue down.
That would have been better TV.
Oh my God, Damien. Who did you bring? I can't have another daughter.
I love you so much. Why you do this to
me? You break my heart.
You break my heart. We are Latin women.
So then he says some bullshit about, I brought her. I know how the media portrays things. It's like, what the? You're just saying words out of your mouth. And then he thanks Sausage Lips McClintock for stopping by. Bro, what are you talking? Hey, thanks for stopping by.
Everything that happens from here on with Damien, I feel like he has to be in a fugue state. He can't be in his right mind. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, not because I like Damien at all.
Yeah, but like, how can a human behave this way?
Exactly. There has to be a reasonable explanation, because you are so unhinged in such a controlled and manipulative manner.
Oh, it's scary.
Then he immediately asks for a shot. Nay, he says he needs a shot.
He needs a shot.
I just want to get one thing straight about our basic needs.
Yeah.
Right? We need oxygen. We need water. Mm-hmm. We need food, shelter.
Yeah.
A shot is not something anyone
ever.
No.
No. I mean, I think we've established on this show many times that it's always, always a good idea to have shots in the middle of a really, really charged situation.
Yeah. No, you need a face transplant and a lobotomy.
Yes. You need those things.
A shot of tequila is.
You don't need.
It's just something that you want to take the edge off of a situation that you have made uncomfortable.
Yes, 100%. And Gigi says,
2-year anniversaries, that woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Almost three.
Her face. I mean, her face totally falls, and she's like,
I've been dating 2 years.
Yeah, no. No, I've said almost like three anniversaries.
Almost three? Yeah? Is that what you want?
We've been dating for 2 years. It gets super weird and awkward between them. She's like grabbing his face and like, what do you want, baby? It is so unhealthy.
And then Giannina says to Francesca, how about we get a drink? And Giannina says to Damien, shoo. Yikes. So he walks away so the two women can talk.
He's so nervous. He's cute. So cute.
I don't know if in the audio you can hear that she is saying that through gritted teeth, and if you can really hear how dripping her passive aggressiveness is, but wow.
When Gigi says, so cute.
Yeah, so cute.
Mm. Yeah. Then she tells her,
you say you're friends. He says you're friends. I can feel that you guys are friends, but I'm letting you know right now, if you ever did try anything, you're messing with the wrong bitch.
Feeling right now about this situation, because I have all of the feelings.
I mean, it's funny because, like you said, like things end up changing toward the end of the episode, but I'm like, are we adult? Like, did you all miss like a large section of your life where you learned how to behave appropriately. Gigi says he's mine. And Sausage Lips Titty McGee is like, yeah, like he's amazing. Like he's like a great person. And like, I really respect him. But like 90% of what we talk about is you.
Yeah, I feel like this conversation, it didn't start off great.
No.
I understand where Gigi is coming from.
Oh, yeah.
This is all a direct result of Damien's actions. I am in no way blaming either of these women right now, but Gigi has already set this conversation up to not be productive because now she's on the offensive and Francesca's on the defensive, right? Rather than starting out with questions like, hi, are you dating Damien? Do you know that Damien and I are together? Because then she says, put yourself in my situation, which is fair. And that's sort of how you should have started the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Because Francesca keeps saying, well, I understand you guys are figuring it out. And that's when it dawns on me.
She doesn't know.
Francesca has a different narrative than what's actually happening.
Yeah, she says, I'm aware of where you guys stand and I'm not going to cross any boundaries. And I'm like, she's aware? Because these two don't seem like they're aware.
At all.
Of their own situation. So I don't know what you're aware of.
Do you think they've hooked up?
I fucking hope not.
I feel like they might have just kissed, like made out but not have sex. That's the vibe I'm getting. Like she's like, it's complicated. Like they made out in the car a little bit after drinks at that wine bar when she saw he had a Porsche from 1904 or whenever it was.
Yeah. And then Damien the Sandworm comes back and he literally stands between them looking like a maitre d' asking if everything's all right with their meal. He's like, ladies.
It's so true.
May I interest you in our dessert menu for this evening?
Does anyone like this organized situation I've made?
Would you like another shot of tequila
for you? I feel like we need that. I feel like we need creme brulee. Anyone?
We have a lovely lemon blueberry torte this evening.
You could rub it on your titties and you guys could wrestle. We can just see what happens. You can put it on her titties. I can put it on your titties. How are we feeling?
We have a can of whipped cream, just throwing it out there. If you wanted to put that on each other, you know, we have some chocolate sauce.
It is. Gigi is put in a terrible position. I don't know what I'd do.
Yes.
I feel like I would honestly go cry in the corner. I feel like I would be so overwhelmed, I would shut down and cry in the corner.
Same. And I have to say that what we know of Gigi so far and how she handles stress, like, yes, she put her on the offensive or the defensive rather, but like she's handling this a lot more calmly than we ever would have expected her to.
Gigi has grown for sure.
Yes.
She has matured in 2 years. Those are pivotal years. What is it? 26 to 28 or was it 27 to 29 or something like that, right?
Yeah. It's like your late 20s. I think hopefully you're finally like, oh, I don't need to behave that way anymore.
Getting a little more secure.
I mean, it took me a lot longer, but yeah.
I just got out of that phase like a month ago. Yeah.
5 minutes ago.
Before we started recording.
Yeah. You can tell that he's trying to put the kibosh on this whole thing.
Yeah.
Even though he fucking did it himself. This happens in front of Francesca. Gigi very fairly asks, why are you guys still talking? And he says, the same reason you talk to your friends, to network and do lives and interact with people.
But again, you didn't answer the question. You answered the question with a scenario that actually doesn't pertain to the question. So you didn't answer the question. Such a narc tactic.
Yeah, his behavior is very troubling. So he's basically admitting that he's trying to leverage his friendships for networking possibilities. And then he's like, I don't tell you who you can and can't be friends with. And I wrote, you would if you knew that she was like touching his arm and playing with her hair and being like, let's get blackout drunk. You'd be like, absolutely not. You can't hang out with that person anymore. And then Sausage Lips Mahoulihan says, if you guys were to break up, you'd have to be cool with each other being in other relationships. Okay, sure. But A, they're not broken up. And D, mind your business. Go get your lips pumped back up. Go mind your own fucking business. This is not for you to say.
Well, put a pin in that.
Okay.
Because there's more that Francesca tells us. Before we move on, a waiter comes up in a very unimportant moment. They come up to Amber Barnett and Rory and offers them a chicken lollipop. And I just want to put sort of a message out there. If anyone actually knows who invented the chicken lollipop, I just want to congratulate them. I also have a couple follow-up questions because I know what chicken is. I know what a lollipop is. Both great. I just want want to know where the meeting of the minds came from.
Yeah, that's not a good name. Like, you don't want to put those two things together.
But they are great. Have you had a chicken lollipop?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's an Indian restaurant here that Monty, they've got these like spicy chicken lollipops. And man, he can go down on a plate of those.
Yeah.
But it's just not, that's not a good name.
Can you maybe just not say your 10-year-old is?
I mean, I hear it. Yeah, I hear it now.
Now that you've said it, do you sort of?
Yeah, I regret. There's a lot of things I regret. And that's definitely high. That's high up there.
In the top 10 or? Yeah, as well it should be. This podcast being 11.
Please don't tell whatever parent that was that told on me.
I'm actually going to put it on my story. I'm not going to tag her, but she does follow me now.
Oh, does she? Did you see Christina Ricci posted a video from the school bus with all the kids' faces? And the caption is, I chaperoned a fourth grade field trip and I'm now deaf in one ear. And you can see all the kids and they're screaming. And I'm like, see? Fucking Christina Ricci bested me again.
Yeah.
I cannot get out from under that woman.
So now we go to a conversation with Rory, Amber, and Barnett. I realize that we have been covering season one since what feels like the early 1990s.
Uh-huh.
It was a long time ago. Yeah. But even going back and popping back past our time with season six, I am immediately taken back to the visceral feelings I have about Rory.
Yeah.
Because who the fuck is Rory?
Definitely not a Netflix plant.
He's got to have an uncle or a cousin, minimum, that works at Netflix. Like, I'm going to pitch this to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case and try and solve why the fuck Rory pops up with inspirational quotes and stuff. And everyone loves him. They're like, Rory! Rory!
Oh, hey, Rory's is here! Hey, party showed up.
It's like they made a movie and they cut out the main character and the main character's name was Rory and only the people on set get it.
Yes.
We're like, we are in the, who are you?
Who are you talking about?
He would pop in with a Brady Bunch moment and a perfect inspirational quote that most certainly he saw at Home Goods, yeah. And then he would walk away.
Jesus is the reason for the season, guys. I'll see you later. I'm out.
It is very strange.
Then Ebony comes over to her boyfriend, who's a Carlton lookalike, and Black Harvey Fierstein. And she's basically like, can you guys not hide in the corner and maybe come mingle? And Harvey Fierstein's basically like,
I didn't sign up to be on a reality show. I don't care about any of these people.
And Ebony seems real twisted up about this. And I'm not sure why she fucking cares so much. I'm like, oh yeah. So like, they didn't sign up to be on a reality TV show. Yes, they should have sort of known, but like, they don't want to mingle. Okay.
Okay, let me ask you a question. When my ex-husband, who was a muggle, used to come with me to events, an opening or some kind of, you know, company Christmas party like Kinky Boots,
yeah.
I actually would love it when he didn't come because those things are sort of networky things and you're talking about business and people that you know. And hold on one second. Yes, Joey, I'm recording one of my other podcasts that don't involve you.
Joseph.
You know, I don't like the way you answered that phone, and I'm going to hang up and call back. And when I do, I want you to be sweet and kind and act like a loving person. Can you do that?
Yeah, let's do it again. Give me another shot. Here we go. Go. Okay. Hey, Joey, I'm recording one of my other podcasts that doesn't involve you. It's with Daisy Egan. She won a Tony. I love you. You're cute.
Hi, Ellen. You and Daisy can both eat my ass. And,
Joseph!
That's all I have to say. I'm sick of your shit. I'm sick of Daisy, too. Fuck her and her Tony. I never liked The Secret Garden anyway.
Whoa!
What did I miss? What did I miss? What did I miss?
He said he didn't even like The Secret Garden anyway. I didn't know he was bringing that much smoke today. I really didn't.
Yeah. Well, that's okay, because I've literally never seen a single show that he's been in, so I have no opinion.
Yeah, tell her I'm glad that What's-His-Name died in the show.
He's glad What's-His-Name died in the show.
What's-His-Name? I mean, the parents at the beginning.
Who died?
Well, in the book, Dickon goes off to war and dies.
Dickon goes off to war?
Okay. What do you need, honey?
Well, if you're recording, I can just wait.
Okay.
Okay, well, goodbye.
Love you. So we were talking about
the parties and having your husband there.
It was always hard because you're integrating, you're talking, your business, you're smoozing, and then being like, right, okay, and you're forgetting to do introductions. I'm just saying maybe this wasn't the great place for a first date.
This was a terrible idea for a first date, and it's going to come up again later in the episode.
Yeah, it just was like these guys are sitting there I just, yeah. Whenever my ex-husband would be like, I can't, I have this, I'm like, oh. And in my mind, I'm like, honestly, that's just going to make my night so much easier.
Yeah.
You're being a middleman
yeah.
for conversations. I mean, I dated a guy who was an actor, and that wasn't so bad. Going to parties, I mean, everything else was bad, mostly the narcissism. But
yeah.
for another time, let's go.
Yeah. Rory, LC, Gigi, and Jessica are having a kibitz again about Mark. Jessica again asks why Mark isn't there. Let it go. LC calls him a chicken. And then she asks if Jessica's talked to the Barnetts. And Jessica feels weird about going to talk to them. She says she feels like Amber doesn't want to talk to her. And Gigi's like, nope, she sure doesn't. I mean, listen, I have mixed feelings about it. Because then in confessional, Gigi tells us that Jessica has matured and the Barnetts haven't. Which is basically what you've been saying for this whole fucking anniversary thing. And I think Gigi was trying to warn her. Like, yeah, I wouldn't go talk to her if I were you.
Don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't be rude.
Yes.
It was the tone. It was just the drunk. It was her being drunk.
Yeah.
She just should have been like, you know what?
Yes. Maybe mail the present instead.
She could have worded it differently. I blame the alcohol. I'm giving her a pass. Jessica basically says, you know, I don't understand. They blocked me on Instagram. Can't we all move past this? So finally, Jessica gets all of her cojones in a bunch, and she goes over to Barnett and hands him the present that she brought, and she says,
I have a gift for you and Amber.
Okay.
I want to just deliver to you so that y'all know I respect y'all's relationship, and I have love for y'all.
Okay.
You
know? Thank you.
You want me to set it somewhere?
Yeah, just over there somewhere, because okay. I can't. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm not allowed to, so.
Oh, you're not allowed to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Trying to be respectful, but also,
Daisy, he doesn't even make eye contact with her.
He won't even touch it. He'll barely look at her.
Go set it down. First of all, they're Tiffany champagne flutes. Classy as fuck.
Yeah.
He is walking around in a circle. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
That's exactly what I wrote down. He's literally walking in circles going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I gotta go to the bathroom. Grow up.
Now, it is one thing to ask or request your partner, respect your boundaries. Maybe don't over-engage with someone that you don't particularly like, that maybe you have past beef with, whatever. But
I know.
Controlling another yeah. person with ultimatums to the point where your partner is actually having a visible panic attack over what to do when he's confronted with that situation.
It's bad. That's bad.
That is toxic yeah. and preposterous.
Yeah. In confessional, he tells us that he needs to respect Amber's wishes. And he's like, this is a tough one. Boy, this is hard. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm like, you better get used to this because this is going to be your relationship.
Well, the easiest thing to do is just to be kind, be polite,
yeah.
and not publicly humiliate someone.
Yeah, just say like, hey, thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Hope you're great.
Appreciate it.
Grace is actually very easy to have.
Very.
He made it 10 times worse.
10. It's crazy. It's like he's a little kid and some guy just came over and was like, hey, kid, you want a lollipop? And he's like, I got to go ask my mom.
It's so bad.
So he tells Amber, and she says that she's not going to enable somebody who's trying to do damage control, and she's not a genuine person, and blase fucking blah. She just wants to be fucking mad.
First of all, I've seen what overt damage control looks like. And trust and believe, this is not that. This is a woman who is genuinely humbling herself, trying to be gracious, putting forth an effort of goodwill. Grow up.
Grow up.
Grow the fuck up. Amber, I have zero respect.
Zero.
I was starting to be fine with Amber at the end of the season. I was like, okay, whatever. Now you can choke on a bag of dicks. The whole bag.
She's also walking around this party, in my opinion, with this expression on her face. It's like, don't fuck with me. Don't fuck with me. It's like, girl, this is your, like, just have a good time.
That pick me fight she got in with Elsie and Diamond the last episode.
Yeah.
Like,
just have a nice night.
Yeah, I hope all the boys picked you, Amber. Good job.
Jessica's crying in confessional, and she's like, what did I even do? And she says, I can't remember what happened. It's been that long.
I've had situations like that where it's like,
what? But she also can't remember because she was blackout drunk.
Fair point. Yeah, fair point.
Yeah.
And she has admitted that. I do not condone her behavior.
No.
But I absolutely accept that she's like, fucked up here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
Again, this woman was ridiculed mercilessly.
Yeah.
By us, yeah. By everyone, because we're just reacting to what they saw.
Yeah.
That was her penance. Let her have it. She yes. has atoned. Why am I saying Catholic phrases today? Hey, Jesus. What's up?
I don't know. She has been martyred. She is beside herself that this is still an issue. And frankly, so and am I.
So Jessica goes up and talks to Kenny and says how awkward it is. And I just am like, mm-hmm. this woman is so uncomfortable. And you know that feeling, that deep feeling of embarrassment.
Oh,
you feel the cry. It's right here. And then you get the anxiety because you know the cry is right there and you start croaking like a frog.
Yeah. Oh,
and she gets yeah. emotional and I feel horrible. I just feel like,
yeah.
you know what? Amber doesn't even have to forgive her. You don't have to actually forgive her. I don't care. Forgiveness is easy, but you can be kind. I say this to Lola all the time.
That's what I tell Monty too. I'm like, you don't have to like somebody, but you do have to be kind to them. If you are a little 10-year-old girl who has decided that she doesn't like a boy anymore, that's fine. When you drop your folder and he picks it up for you, you could just say, hey, thanks. That's fine. You could just do that. You don't have to date him or like him or hold his hand.
Yeah.
You could just say thank you. Thanks, Monty.
I say this about her teachers. You know, she has this teacher that's really hard on her. And she got sassy and she got in trouble for being sassy. I said, you are going to come across
yeah.
so many people you don't like. Like, you're going to make podcasts with them and they're going to be like, I have a Tony. And you are like, and then you're going to have to like
yeah.
talk with them and work with them and text with them all day and like FaceTime with them every night and like and then they're gonna be like so mean to you.
Wait,
bye.
Wait,
huh?
This sounds so familiar.
No, this is a hypothetical. This is what I tell Lois. It's a hypothetical.
Are you talking?
And they can be like, I am so much better at everything than you, and I have a Tony Award, and you still have to be respectful.
It just sounds so familiar.
I'm riffing. This is off the tip top.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's true. Like, you just have to be respectful. That's it. You don't have to be friends. You don't have to go out of your way. You don't have to do favors. You could take those fucking champagne flutes and give them to the doorman of the fucking fancy restaurant you're in. Salone in the chat says he's not capable of being a human adult. He's not. He's acting like a child. And Amber is acting like a bully, actually, now. Because she's sort of campaigning to people and talking. Grow up. Stop. You're married. You're happy. I always tell Lola, happy people don't treat people that way.
Yes.
Happy correct. People look way, get over it. I'm yeah. not saying she did not do some bad shit. She absolutely did.
Yeah. She has fucking apologized and she bought you $125 champagne flutes. Get the fuck over it.
Yeah. Just put on an act, crack a fucking smile.
Yeah. You know, she could go up to Jessica and be like, your dress is gorgeous and mine looks like I got it at TJ Maxx.
What? I mean, don't TJ Maxx shame people, Daisy. I love TJ Maxx, okay?
Yeah, but they don't have like nice, have you bought a gown at TJ Maxx?
Well, I'm going to now just to prove that I can find one.
Okay.
Now, I guess I'm going to TJ Maxx tonight.
One more thing on my list.
I also want to say one more thing before we get off Amber.
I got off Amber a long
time. I want to say, she says that Jessica went above and beyond
yeah,
to
break them up.
Break them up, which I don't believe. I think she maybe went above. I don't think she went beyond. Like, she just was like,
yeah.
Are you sure you want to do this? Whatever. I'm not making excuses.
Yeah.
I want to say, I do understand Amber having that discomfort. I should have included that. Like,
yeah.
even though I think Amber's a cunt, I'm not minimizing her feelings in the situation. I'm just saying, rise above it. Who fucking cares? I just wanted to make that clear.
Get over it. Get over it. It was a long fucking time ago.
Yeah. I mean, like, your husband fucking sold his house to pay off your Sephora debt.
You got him.
Like, you can look her in the eye for a second and a half,
yeah.
okay?
You got him.
I don't know. Take those fucking Tiffany glasses and sell them on eBay and go shopping at Sephora since you love Sephora so much.
That's what I wrote down later. Jokes on them. They could have just fucking sold those things.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
Get a life.
Now we cut back to Worm Face and Sausage Lips, and he tells Sausage Lips that, well, that didn't go so well. And she's like, bro, you way underplayed what was going on between you and Gigi. You did not tell me you were still together. She's basically like, you did me fucking dirty and I ended up getting chewed out by Gigi. And that fucking sucks. And he's like, well, that's not my fault.
No, I agree. You should not have been spoken to like that. And that's on Giannina and that's not on me.
He says, that's not on me.
Yeah, bro. It is your fucking fault. when you brought this fucking off-brand Barbie doll to your anniversary party, essentially,
yeah,
with your girlfriend who once yelled at you in front of an entire party of people, full-throated, this thing goes well as you thought it was going to go?
He says, that's not on me. And I beg, I'm pleading to disagree, because you, you fucking knuckle-dragger, are the one who came and put these two women in a situation that is uncomfortable, that is disrespectful to both of them,
both of them.
Pit them against each other, because now I realize that Francesca says she shouldn't have been spoken to the way she was, and I actually agree, 1 point Francesca, but here's the thing, we don't know what conversation Damien had behind closed doors. What if Damien was like, oh man, I have told Gigi time and time again, it is over, this bitch won't let it go. Who knows what kind of narrative he's spun?
He's running around saying like, I give you communication, I give you communication. And like, clearly he has not given either of these women clear communication.
So at first I thought it was wildly disrespectful of Francesca. And I was like, oh, he just used the other half of that manipulation coin on her. And now you've pitted these women against each other. Mm-hmm. You've made your partner, your girlfriend, look crazy.
Yeah.
Because you have created this situation that is not healthy.
Yeah.
And you just sit and watch the ticking time bomb go off and be like, see, look how crazy she is.
Yeah. And I think later, like, I sort of understand why he did it. Not that I excuse it, but like, I get his subconscious motivation or whatever.
Oh, really? I can't wait for you to explain that to me.
Yeah, but like, knowing what we know of Gigi, she actually handled it pretty calmly. Like, that could have been a lot fucking worse.
Yeah, you're right.
And he knows that. He knows that she can yell and scream, and she kept her tone down. She called herself a bitch. She was like, you're messing with the wrong bitch, but like, she didn't name call. She was passive aggressive. But for Gigi, that was like top level behavior. I can't believe that either of these women dated him after all this. Like, I cannot believe they didn't run screaming for the hills.
That man looks like a fucking Neanderthal sack of wet mice.
Yes.
He is so gross
and
pointless. He's not funny.
No.
He's not entertaining.
No.
He's not highly educated. He's not good looking.
He has no sense of humor. He's like, I am Damien. I am handsome. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not.
No, you have a Cro-Magnon man forehead.
Yes.
You maybe have big muscles. Gigi says you don't fuck her, right? I'm confused as to why we're here right now.
Yeah, he really thinks he's going to be a reality TV star, and he missed the mark by a mile.
Hannah says, an insecure man loves to prove hot women want him.
Ugh.
Yeah, absolutely. Look at these. Look at these ladies. Look at these fucking crazy ladies fucking fighting over this D.
Yeah, I was just listening to a Dateline about a murder in the Hollywood Hills, and it was about this serial rapist. And he ends up confessing. I think he ends up confessing to the murder, but he won't admit that he raped her or that it was rape. He's like, it was consensual. And I was like, this guy would rather be known as a murderer than as somebody who women didn't want to fuck consensually.
That's such a good point. But can I just talk to you for 1 second? Okay.
Yeah.
Can you guys just fast forward a couple times? I love you. And I think I love doing this show with you. And I know we both also do like a true crime show, but this is like a comedy show. Like, people come here to laugh with us. So I think that's a very interesting story and a very good point. But, like, could we, we don't need to make it like a rule, but could we make it like a suggestion that we don't talk about rape on our comedy show? Or is that just like, if you could think about, it's just, I don't, like, you're so good at everything you do.
Yeah.
But sometimes you bring down a room.
Oh, that's what it's been my whole life. Thank you. I get it now.
Yeah. Let's give the people time. Maybe they fast forwarded like a couple times so they didn't hear that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Good.
Let's come back. Wait, come back in with laughter. So, ready?
Okay. Rape isn't funny. Listen, the only way that I could talk about my trauma is through humor.
No, that's actually a really fun. He would rather. No. The sex part was consensual.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I totally murdered her, but come on.
Disgusting.
She said she wanted it.
Gross.
Diamond then asks Ramel, a.k.a. Harvey Fierstein, if he wants to take photos. And he's like,
no, I'm good.
And he leaves. And this is, I'm like, listen, this is not your bag. This is not a good place for a first date. Diamond is here to be on TV and to network and get famous, and that's fine. And he just wants to walk her to her car, if you know what I mean.
Okay, this shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Ebony, as a friend, as a girlfriend, wouldn't you have stepped in and been like, Diamond, love you, love the chopsticks.
Yeah.
They're doing wonders right now.
Really holding that JK. Very tall bun up.
She has no gays in her life, clearly. Don't you think someone should have been like, don't you want to go out for sushi or something?
But Ebony brought her boyfriend, so I don't think either of them were thinking properly.
I don't think the boyfriend should have come, but this was a first date.
Yeah.
At least Brett was like her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. It's like opening a Broadway show, right? It's a singular experience. Yeah. And you're these people and they haven't seen each other. This was just...
Yeah, not the right time.
I don't know. It just wasn't the place. And I actually feel bad for both of them because Ramel was sitting in the corner kind of being like,
yeah,
hey, I have my, you know, whiskey on the rocks. Like, it just wasn't conducive to any kind of first date conversation or chemistry or anything. And then... Diamond is really upset.
Oh, she's very, very upset. She's chatting with Ebony and Lauren, and she's crying. And Lauren says that he sounds selfish. He thinks that he should have been in a support role. But again, like...
It's not her boyfriend. It's a first date.
No.
And then Diamond then says to the camera in a confessional, she says she can't find a man and she's followed every rule in the rule book and she's devastated that she's over 30 and single. And I hate this for her. I hate this for women. All right, here we go. I'm in a monologue.
Go for it.
I hate this. Yeah. Just as women, we are just told that we're too everything, right? We're too sensitive. We're too emotional. We're too crazy. We're too loud. We're too opinionated. We're too weak to achieve our goals. And that's why we need a dude. That's why you need a man. And I feel like that's usually the echoing of people who are actually so weak. They're scared of your potential. Like, whenever I hear a woman be that upset, she is actually emotionally upset that she is not coupled yet. It just makes me, and I know I'm like old and been through it. I would just love women to embrace their independence more apologetically.
Unapologetically.
Unapologetically. Did I say apologetically?
Yeah.
I'm drunk. Unapologetically. And I don't care if you're coupled. If you're coupled and you're happy, that's great.
Yeah, but that doesn't have to be everyone's life goal. And you can be a worthy person without having a fucking partner.
I feel like now, listen, I'm on the back nine. You know, I got this shit in my rearview mirror right now. Hardcore.
Yeah.
So, like, seeing it back and looking back to how I was raised, you know, in the days of yesteryear, the expectations on our generation to conform to those old fucking societal norms that the fucking boomers had.
Yeah.
I don't know how any of us made it out alive.
You know, I'm watching really Friends through from beginning to end, and I'm on season 6 now, and Ross is dating this girl who's way too fucking young for him. She's like 20.
Which one? Oh, yeah, the blonde.
Yeah, and everyone is on his case, like, if you're not going to get married, then why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And it's like, not everything has to have some end goal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're just doing this because they're having a good time. In polyamory, they call that escalator relationships. Like, you start dating, and then this happens, and then this, and it all, you know, and then you buy a house, and you have kids. Like, it doesn't have to go that way at all.
Right, yeah. I actually am going to make a statement, and I want you to tell me how you feel.
Yeah.
I actually believe, with my whole chest, not just some kind of, like, rah-rah feminism statement, I believe that men need women, actually, more than women need men.
Absolutely.
That's a blanket statement. Of course, not everyone, put yourself in every scenario. You know, there's...
No, I can buy a stepladder. I can buy a jar opener. I can... call somebody to reach the thing, you know, up there with the smoke stuff.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't survive without me.
Yeah. I really believe that. And it's so weird how those vampires get in there for women. All women. I mean, same with me. I never wanted to get married.
Yeah.
I never wanted to get married. And I only admitted that out loud when I started podcasting.
Oh, wow.
I never admitted that out loud to anyone.
Yeah.
I just got married because that is what you do. It wasn't that I wanted to not be like coupled or have kids. I just like, I did not need to. When they're like, I did my fairy tale wedding. I'm like, I was born without that chip.
No, same. The only reason I got married the first time was because he asked me and like, what was I supposed to do? Say no?
When a man gets down. I've said that quote before. Yeah. You say yes.
Yeah.
Ugh, how you haven't watched Sex and the City. Don't watch it without me.
And then Ebony tells Diamond that it's going to happen to her when she least expects it. She says to Lauren, you were minding your own business and now you're a wife. Well, okay. So you saw a casting call for a show to meet a spouse. And then you filled out a whole bunch of forms and you submitted like an audition video probably. And like you went there hoping to find a spouse and then you found one because you were on a reality show. So I wouldn't, it's like Kenny who kept saying it was serendipity. Like, no, you intentionally went.
Yeah, you know, you're using that word incorrectly.
Incorrectly.
You need to Google it because that's not the word you're using.
Yeah, Google that.
Yeah.
Not how it works. LC then checks in on Damien and he tells her that she looks beautiful and she's like, okay, bro. Like, he's gross.
I take issue now with Netflix sort of protecting Mark and Damien. I didn't particularly like any of them.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go in on a timeshare with them or anything, but they definitely did not paint them. I think actually Damien's a full-on narcissist, actually. I think Mark's probably just an idiot that was like short and ugly and now can get chicks and is trying to like get his dick wet.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Netflix, why are you making these women all out to be crazy? Because they're crazy too. We're all a different shade of crazy. But if we're going to show everybody's, let's put it all out on the table. I love to lead with my crazy, actually.
Oh, let them know up front because then you don't have to work so hard to hide it. Let them know up front.
It's so liberating.
Then they have the opportunity to be like, yes or no.
Yeah.
And you don't have to hold your farts in for 12 years.
Yeah, because that will honestly eat you from the inside out. Yeah. It's like when we started podcasting and you're like, Ellen, like, I'm gonna ridicule you all the time. And I'm like, great, I'm used to it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna tell you I'm better than you. And I'm like, yep, got that too. And you're like, and I still did it because I have trauma. But what was I saying?
That's weird. I don't exactly remember that.
You wouldn't.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I'm gonna take your word for
Wait,
it.
Did you see how I just did that to you? You wouldn't.
Shh, baby, shh. You look beautiful.
Oh my God.
So then, definitely not a Netflix plant, Rory gets up on a little platform with a mic and he gives a speech of some bullshit nonsense gobbledygook.
Test, test, 1, 2. It's been a long time. Because we all got to know each other so well in the pods. And in that process, we found a lot of who we are, found a lot of what we're looking for out of life, and we're able to kind of bring that all here. So cheers to all of you.
We love you all.
Cheers to the Pod Squad.
Well, I'm sorry, Daisy, where the fuck are we? Why is that man on a microphone?
I don't know.
What is happening? What is happening? This is silly now. Like, all of a sudden, he's the MC of the bat mitzvah. He's like, all right, Rubensteins, put your hands together.
Let's have a mitzvah.
Why are you the MC? Why are you the host?
Who are you?
Who are you? I don't even, who did he date?
Nobody.
He didn't even have a story. Like, LC at least had a story that went through the show.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was just in the pods being like, when you wish upon a star, your dreams come true.
What? You know how like Jessica was like a part of the fabric of season 6?
Yeah.
I have no idea who he dated. I have nothing about this man other than the fact that he loves a microphone and he loves to pontificate.
I don't know that we ever even saw him in a pod.
Yes.
At all.
Yes.
We just saw him in the men's quarters.
I feel like I sniffed something I shouldn't have. I feel like I'm at a rave and I did a popper.
A popper?
I don't even... A popper. A popper.
I once smoked weed that I found on the floor at a rave, and that was definitely laced with some not good stuff.
Yeah. Did anyone ever tell you not to do that?
Apparently not.
Great. Okay.
Because I did. Except for that one drug therapist who was like, you should try heroin. So Cameron comes up, and this is the first time I noticed he's wearing an alligator suit. No, just no, don't do that. It's no, no. He says that he was lucky that he couldn't see Lauren when they met because she's too beautiful for him to even think straight. And then he starts crying like Monica when she tries to propose to Chandler. Hey.
Look at you. This speech is beaches wrapped in the color purple with a little sprinkle of My Girl.
I auditioned for My Girl.
I know. You've told me that story before. Oh, now we're at your repeating yourself phase of the podcast. We're going to lose listeners.
Oh, boy. Yep.
He can't get through it.
No. He's like, when I, every day, when I,
it's act two of Angels in America. Like,
yeah, it is a lot.
It's fucking Anne Hathaway in Les Mis. I can't.
It's like Ben Platt and Dear Evan Hansen, which I never saw because I knew how much he cried in it. And I was like, I'm good. Thanks for having the emotion for me. Yeah.
It's so much.
It's too much.
And then he spit all over the audience.
No.
Yeah. It's so much. I love him. And then Lauren says she didn't grow up with men that showed emotions, and it's refreshing, and that's adorable. I'm not making fun of Cameron. He is so fucking pure and wholesome.
Although we find out a little later he's not quite as wholesome as we think.
Let's all fucking, what, sit in the corner and watch Dances with Wolves. Okay? This is, or listen to a speech by Cameron. Either one.
Oh, Life is Beautiful is the movie that I go to when I need to cry.
You know, that's one of my top five favorite movies.
I love that movie so much.
That's one of my top five. Got chills.
That's because you're basically an Italian Jew.
Right. And I think actually my fascination with World War II came from my history teacher, Mr. Green.
Yeah.
And I was like, of course there were Jewish Italians. There were Jewish people all over Europe. They weren't in one place.
Everywhere.
That movie, the fact that Act One is so different than Act Two. And Roberto Benigni, do you remember his acceptance speech? Look,
Yes, when he
can't.
I know, me too.
That final speech when he sneaks in to get the microphone.
Yeah, I know, they're all over my body.
Do you listen to it in Italian and read the subtitles?
Oh, yes, of course. Papa, papa. Oh, God, I can't.
No, don't. It is my top five favorite movie. I say that all the time.
Like, when I am emotionally constipated, that's the movie that I sit down to watch because I know it'll just fucking destroy
me. I love it when she calls him Josue.
I know. Josue.
I'm like, oh my God, that's Italian for Josue.
Principessa. The other night I reread Bridge to Terabithia. Did you ever read Bridge to Terabithia?
I did when I was little, but I don't remember it.
I read it several times when I was little and it fucking destroyed me. I remember finishing it in the back of my parents' car on the way up to see my grandparents and just in a fetal position, just fucking weeping my head off. And I finished it the other night.
I should reread that.
I thought I was gonna die. And I almost read that book to Monty. It would have destroyed him.
Aww.
It would have broken his spirit. Like, he already has a sad streak that runs through him. This book would have finished him.
Is Kurt Jewish?
Kurt? No.
I just didn't know if he had all of the Jew problems that you have. You know, the guilt and the shaky hands.
No, although Kurt has an essential tremor, too. Worse than mine. Like, Kurt, when he goes to drink, it looks like he's, like, yeah.
I have not researched that fact that you say that comes from your Jewish heritage, whether or not I'm calling balderdash on that, but I accept it.
Well, I'm telling you, Dr. whatever, you know, Blankenstein.
Zhivago?
When I went in and said, I've got this tremor, he was like, are you Jewish? And I was like, how dare you, sir?
So Cameron finishes his speech, and I don't know who put on Steel Magnolias.
Now we have to listen to fucking Barnett.
Oh, go ahead.
He's such a big dummy that instead of talking, he just shows a video. It's actually a very sweet video. It's a montage of him kissing her goodbye every morning because she doesn't have a fucking job. Because
she's still asleep
when
he leaves to go to work to pay the bills because she's a stay-at-home mom.
Wait.
She's a stay-at-home person.
There's something missing.
Is that a title?
In that equation.
Yeah.
She's a stay-at-home wife.
She stays home all day. And so she's still asleep when he kisses her goodbye. Why don't you wake up and have coffee together? I love mornings. That's actually something when I have been coupled. I love mornings, like morning coffee when you can be a little lazier.
Oh, I like mornings get out of my room, but I want to be awake. Like, I've been noticing lately if I sleep in, I sort of miss my like morning routine and it kind of throws my day off.
Mm-hmm.
But then we cut to Jessica a few times during this montage looking like she is holding in a serious fucking fart and she is sucking down that Pinot Noir.
It is quite hilarious. So then Damien goes to the Barnetts to say goodbye, and Barnett is talking about making this video, and he's like, I had to cut out a bunch of nip slips.
No.
Have you ever met a couple that
no.
has an insatiable need to let people announce how much sex they have?
No.
I'm confident everyone has as much sex as they need or they yep. want. I don't care.
I mean, I want you to know that Kurt and I fuck every fucking night and every morning. Like, we fuck all the time. Like, just so you, like, his dick.
They don't. She's naked. They always. It's yeah. very uncomfortable to me. Like, occasionally it can be a joke. Or,
yeah.
It is. It's sort of their whole personality.
Yeah.
We get it. You fuck. You're yeah. hot. She's got great. I don't. What else is there?
Yeah, I don't fucking care.
They go out of their way.
Yeah, I knew somebody who was like this. She just was over fucking shared like all the time. And I think it was under the guise of like, I'm sexually free. And I was like, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't care.
Great. You're sexually free. Awesome.
Good for okay. you.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
And Amber kind of continues her campaign of condescension.
Ooh, that's nice.
Now she's sort of like, and I don't mean to Jessica, I actually mean to the non-married couples, because she's telling Damien, she's like, good luck. Good luck out there. You'll meet someone.
I would say congratulations, but good luck.
Good.
Fuck you.
She is so condescending. Like, Diamond called her out on it last episode, but she's like,
yeah.
You guys, we're happily married. Good luck with all of your projects. We are married. Married by the law. Married. We signed
I
papers.
I sleep naked. We fuck all the time. We're married.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Then Damien tells us in confessional that the Barnetts are a good example for a healthy relationship.
Okay.
Okay, Damien.
Yeah, and you're a healthy example of
a human
in the evolution chart. Like, it goes from the Neanderthal, mm-hmm. and then it's like the human. He's two in from the human, actually.
Yeah.
So there's like human, this guy, you know, the guy before, and then Damien. So it.
Yeah.
It's helpful, though, to see the chart.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's good to have him there just as an example. Then Damien makes a whole thing about himself. He tells the Barnetts, this is enough shit for me for one night.
What am I doing?
You brought a bucket full of fucking feces. You're conducting the shit orchestra. Orchestra of shit. The orchestration. You're orchestrating this whole thing.
We did it. We did it.
We did it. Oh my God. We would be really good at charades. He literally brought a fucking manure shitstorm to this party, and now he's like, boy, this has been a shit show. Am I right, guys?
It is narc behavior.
And then Gigi grabs him on the way out and is like, are you okay? Like, what is happening? Why aren't you talking to me? And he gaslights the fuck out of her.
Step right up. Ugh. The man with the gas lights things with gas. Damien the gaslighter, everyone.
He's like, you've been walking away from me all night. She's like, you brought this woman here. You put me in a horrible situation. And then he goes, you love this shit. Are you? Did you sniff glass on the way here? Like,
because here's the thing. What he's playing on is the fact that Gigi has acted very dramatic in the past.
Uh-huh.
She probably sat and watched some of those arguments and was very embarrassed by them.
Yeah.
You know, I can imagine being like, fuck that. I look like an idiot. I drank too much.
Yeah.
And he is playing probably on those feelings.
Yep.
And her being like, oh my God, I am a drama queen. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what inspired her to change. Maybe that's what inspired her to look inward. Whatever. I don't know her life.
Yeah, yeah.
So then he played on it because that is something she has done in the past.
Yeah.
Not this time, baby.
No.
This is all on you.
Yep.
This is Hondo P on you, but he's taking from his like card catalog. He's like beep, 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 starting fights.
Yeah. He was hoping for a fucking mud fight so that he could be like, I got to walk away from this. Instead of just breaking up with her, this is what I meant when I said I think I understand why he did it. Not that it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think subconsciously he was like, I want to get out of this, but I'm too much of a fucking chicken to just break up with her. So I'm going to throw a grenade into it.
People do that. That is a common tactic. Yeah.
I mean, I used to do it. And in the confessional, she tells us that Damien does not normally act like this. And this is very bizarre and weird, awkward behavior from him. And she says to him, you knew what you were doing and it was really fucking shitty and you put me in a terrible position. And he's like, I'm a grown man. I can do whatever I want.
You put me in the most uncomfortable situation tonight, so you don't have a say. You don't.
I do have a say.
No,
I'm my own
you
person.
Do not.
I do have a say.
and you don't control me. You don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me who I can be friends with and who I can't. So don't sit here and tell me I don't have a say. I have a say. I'm a grown man. I can handle my own.
Are you? And then in confessional, she says that
by Damien bringing Francesca here, it makes me feel like I'm chopped fucking liver.
Don't go back to the sandwich. Don't go back to the sandwich. Daisy, I can't. I have things to do today.
I can't ever hear it again. I can't. I'm not happy about this.
I have things to do today. I can't be taken down this rabbit hole. I can't. Because now I see it. Now I see it in my brain.
Oh, no. Oh,
exit out. Somebody say something. Go on, Daisy. I can't. I have to record with John Cryer in half an hour.
Gigi and Sandworm are still going at it. She's like... Don't do it. Don't. She's...
Gawa.
Gigi and Sandworm are still going at it. She's like, why are you going to her about our relationship? And he's like, she's my friend. And she's like, come on, bro.
No, she's not.
Like, no, she's not. And she's like, you haven't talked to me all night. And then he finally sort of apologizes for putting her in an uncomfortable position. But then he says some nonsense about wanting Gigi to see him as a confident man. By bringing this woman?
I am so glad you said that. You know when they make those funny reels of like a news or like Donald Trump? They'll take words he said of speeches and being like, I, Donald Trump, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, did they just mishmash a bunch of words together and try and make a sentence? I have no idea what he said. I listened to it three times. What was he talking about?
It was, I brought her here to show you that I'm confident. I'm strong,
but and you
should see that, and also you should respect that.
Love all and blind, and for her, and it was just a mishmash of words.
And Gigi says, "I will never see what you did tonight as noble." And then he says, "Well, it wasn't for you. You literally just said it was for her to see you be a strong man. You literally just said that. So you are handing her the fucking lantern with the gaslighting." Ooh. Every time she tries to get a real answer out of him, I don't know if you've noticed this, but every single time she tries to get a real answer out of him, he goes, "What do you want? Fuck you."
He is now making me feel crazier than I am. I feel crazy watching this.
Yeah.
And she says that she doesn't trust him.
Yes.
And
no.
I don't blame her. What a journey we are on, Daisy. Who thought I would come to the defense of Jessica and Giannina?
I know. It's wild. And fucking Francesca, for that matter. He clearly wants to break up, and he's such a fucking coward, because the minute she says, I can't trust you, he's like, well, then I guess it's done.
And he's like, this is bullshit. You're the problem. Then he says right to the camera, this is bullshit.
Right to the camera.
I was like, babe. I just, real quickly, but recap before you walk into that elevator, Damien, and you walk out of our lives forever.
Please.
You brought a, by some standards, beautiful woman. A woman who's trying very hard to be beautiful.
I called her an off-brand Kardashian, but
which
okay.
is actually great. Some people think the Kardashians are gorgeous. We can also call her Fish Face McGillicuddy. To an anniversary party. Mm-hmm. With your girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
A woman whose mother calls you her son.
Yeah.
And you were like, what? It's totally normal. And you're calling your formerly sort of bratty, made some bad decisions partner. But here's the thing. You agreed to keep her.
Yeah.
Bad traits, annoying traits, bratty traits. You still agreed to it.
Yeah, yeah. You checked off the boxes and then signed the bottom of the paper.
Honestly, whatever frying pan hit you in the face on the way into this world, I hope it hits you on the way out. Because
me too. And soon.
You, my friend, are the problem.
So the Barnetts are leaving without their Tiffany glasses. This is where I said they could have fucking sold them. What idiot. Then they're back at the bougie bar that they were at the very beginning of this whole fucking debacle. And he asks her what their future has in store. And she's like, a family, couple of houses, traveling. Girl, get a job. Where are these couple of... You live in an apartment with a roommate. Get a job.
Maybe spend less time arguing with women about their relationships and then putting down other women on national TV and a little more time learning a skill or a trade.
Yeah. You know what you could do? You could work at Sephora and probably get a 10% discount.
Look at you. Who got that lip gloss for 10% off plus another coupon for 15% off? Who's a big girl?
I did it for her.
Get fucked.
So then he says, I just really hope our future holds anal.
It's actually poetic in the sense that he is such an idiot. It's, I don't even know what to, there's no joke there. It's not a joke. Like, I have nothing to say. It's, you're,
no. I like started to try to write jokes on it and I was like,
what are we doing?
What
are,
can you s-
I just have a follow-up question. Are you 12?
Are you fucking 12?
Okay, I'm gonna touch your butt.
I actually want him to get medical attention. I think there might be some, like, a leak up there.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Great. Again, if you want to have anal, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Saying it on national television at a bougie fucking bar, that's not the place to bring it up. Like, sit down on the couch and be like, hey, I love you. I really respect you. I love our relationship. I'm so glad where this is going. Can we talk about some things in the bedroom that I would like?
Can I stick my rod in your chocolate starfish?
And then she can be like, okay, I hear you. It's not really for, let me do some reading.
Yeah, it's a yes or a no.
Well, I mean, she might want to think about it. She could think about it, maybe do some reading, maybe find out some more about, like, what's pleasurable about it. And then she might want to say, like, okay, I'll let you put it in mine if you let me put it in yours.
Fair is fair. Yeah. And then
he'd be like, oh, that makes me gay. Oh, I'm okay. Oh, no, tighten my butt.
Honestly, my neck hurts. I need a massage. I'm going to bill grab bag. I need a massage from cringing through this episode. I will be charging that.
That's fair. We'll expense that.
Who's in charge of expenses? Is it Amber or Amanda?
Amber.
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 Okay, I'm just going to call Amber really quickly. I have to go. Okay. I have to record.
I know.
Do you know I have to record with all three of you guys today? I don't know how this happens. With Rabia, we kind of have to always say when a guest comes because it's so hard to work around a guest schedule and then our schedule.
Hello.
Hi, Amber. It's Ellen Marsh.
Oh, I'm familiar with you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm buying some pastries.
Oh, fun. Listen, I just wanted to run something by you. We've had a really, really rough episode today of Love is Blind. It's a lot of emotions, and I've cringed so many times that I've thrown my neck out. And I just wanted to know if there's, like, a C2 I fill out or how that works for, like, workman's comp.
Okay, well, first, I think you get on your knees and you pray.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe go to a chiropractor.
Oh, yeah, so I'll just send that bill to grab bag for workman's comp. Okay. Because I'm going to have to tell them how I hurt myself, and I'm going to say I did it on the job. I can't lie. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Think about it. I'm going to get a massage, and Daisy said I could expense that to you guys.
Did she?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all right. I'll talk to Daisy later.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I have some other things that I would like you to talk to Daisy about, but not right now. Just, you know.
All right.
You know.
All good news.
Thanks, Amber.
All right. Thanks, Ellen.
Love you. Bye. I also need HR on the phone.
You heard it here first. So then we're with the Speed Hamiltons, and we see the ugliest painting of them from their wedding day. Yikes. And then Cameron is doing your favorite thing that you love to watch, brushing his teeth.
I just wrote why.
You love it.
Why?
You love it.
I don't like it. I don't care. Hopefully you do brush your teeth. I don't need proof. The proof is the way your teeth look.
The purse is in the pudding. He wants to be married.
Blase blah.
All these people are like, we made it. We made it to 2 years. I once worked with this actor. He's been in a few things. I can never remember his name. He's like been in every movie with like Italian Goomba character. He's like, hey, hey.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing A View from the Bridge. And he could not remember his lines for the life of him. And we finally did a run through. And we only got through the first 4 scenes. And he was drenched in sweat, huffing and puffing. And he goes, we did it. We did it. And I was like, we have like 2 more thirds of this play that we have to do. And this is how.
Not 2 more thirds. We did it. Oh, we got it. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
And this is how I feel when people married for 2 years are like, we've made it 2 years. I'm like, you haven't even gotten to the trenches yet. You're in basic training.
No, you're actually still a newlywed.
Yes. Yes.
For 2 years. Anyway, they're fine.
He says he wants to be married in 200 years. Then they talk about, he's like, we're going to extend humanity. I'm like, it's long enough, bro. We don't, come on. We're fine.
It's fine. I literally wrote in my notes, they're adorable, yes. Blah, blah, blah. That's all I wrote.
But then we get some bonus footage during the credits. Diamond is like, let me spill the tea about Mark and LC. It's not that much tea. Basically, he did slide into her DMs after she posted something on social media And he was like, let me put it in you. And she was like, all right. And he was like, no, I mean tonight. And she was like, okay. And then Diamond tells us that he had a fucking harem of women. I don't see it, but it takes all kinds to make cheese. Then we get fucking Carlton. No, please. Making jokes about how many men Elsie has dated.
Was Carlton at the party?
No. So I don't know why he has any authority to say anything, but he's like, first she dated Michael, and then she dated Matt, and then she dated floop flop a deep a dop a dap, a poop pop a deep, a doop a dop deep, a poop poop. Nobody likes me because I'm bisexual.
Biphobia is real. Now you can find that on Spotify and iTunes. Just search Daisy Egan.
99 cents.
A floop a flop a fleep, a floop a flop a fleep. What'd you say?
I guess Mark's many women are not as big an issue as Elsie's many dudes. Like, we're not going to talk about Mark was dating Jessica, and then Elsie, and then
you
another
and
lady,
me,
we put it in his pee.
Put it in his pee, not in his tea. We're talking about the P, then the P and the D.
And then he got her pregnant, and now she's having a baby, and let's hope it's not a girl or a boy, because either way, he's going to be a terrible parent. Then we get the Barnetts complaining about each other's bad housekeeping.
Are they still married? You keep going. I'm going to look up and see if they're still married.
I think so. I think they are. Lauren tells us that in the pods, Cameron seemed very soft and sweet. But apparently in real life, that man is a freak. He wants to fuck. He is DTF morning, noon, and night.
I called that a long time ago. I called that on like episode 3. I was like, yeah, he fucks her down. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's a lady in the streets and a freak in the bed. For sure.
It's always guys like that. It's always like guys who do poetry and who hike and hog treat. It's always those guys.
Yeah, he's like, I wrote you a poem about, can I put my toes in your vagina? It's called, Can I Put My Toes in Your Vagina? And it goes like this. Can I put my toes in your vagina? Thank you.
I can't. I'm looking up the Barnetts right now, and I feel like I can't leave you
it's
alone.
Okay. I really would want to also fuck Lauren all the time, too. So I can't.
I would want to fuck Cameron all the time.
Yeah. I mean, both of them together.
I can't find them.
The last I heard, they had a lot of shade for this past season for Netflix. They were like, fuck Netflix.
Wow. He's got a million followers. They are still together.
Love is Blind fans watched Amber Pike and Mamba Bear. They're still married today. And Amber told Insider in July 2021 that they wanted no drama while filming the After the Altar. Really? You wanted no drama while filming After the Altar because you acted like a complete fucking brat.
All right, Amber, we got to wrap this up. I've got to record.
I'm not Amber. I'm Daisy.
Okay, whatever. You knew what I meant. I don't even have a podcast with Amber. Well, now I got to start a podcast with Amber. Great. Thanks. Just what I needed. Another fucking podcast.
You guys, season one is wrapped.
That's it.
Can you believe it?
No, actually.
Me neither.
Because it's so crazy because we had that pause while we did 6. Yeah. So these people have been in our lives for a long time. I feel like we should DM them or something.
I know. We should thank them for all the content.
Yeah, for their service. All right, Daisy. Episode 1, final thoughts, final goodbyes. What do you have to say? No, season 1, not episode 1. Sorry.
I mean, this was a roller coaster. I feel like we learned a lot. We grew a lot. Damien and Mark can go fuck themselves right up a tree. Barnett can go with them, as far as I'm concerned. And Netflix really needs to get their act together and stop fucking portraying these women as crazy people when they're with actual toxic men.
Season 1, we out. Next week, we will see you for season 2. Starting over in the pods. Here we go. It's going to be a journey.
Oh, my God.
Please join us. Please share us on social media. You guys, I think our podcast is good.
I do, too.
Like, if I didn't know us, which I do, so I can't actually objectively weigh in, but I feel like it's good.
I do, too. Like, I listen to other podcasts, and I'm like, this is not funny.
Will you guys, like, just, if you're listening to this, will you just, like, tell one person that our podcast is good? Like, they don't even have to listen. Just, like, put it out there and see what comes back.
And also, maybe go to, like, Apple and Spotify and rate it and be like, these.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay, yeah, so, yes, helpful. We should make that clear, but here's the thing. It's Grab Bag is on Apple, right? So they can't search Shut the Fuck Up Nick Lachey. I do think that's confusing, right? If you search Shut the Fuck Up Nick Lachey, does Grab Bag come up?
I'm not sure. I don't. It's been
a while.
Okay,
we need to have that conversation offline. Go to Grab Bag Collab.
Okay. Hey, Ellen.
Huh?
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. And rate us 5 stars. Shut the fuck up. I have to go. Shut the fuck up.
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 Shut the fuck up.